So the other day, I was driving around, and I think I had to connect with my wife about like schedule stuff that afternoon, and I had to figure out like when I was gonna get home or when I needed to get home and when what the kids had going on and all that. And so I called, and my son, 10, almost 10 now, answered the phone. We talked for a few minutes, and I got what I needed through him, and we hung up. And a few minutes later, the phone rang again, and I saw on the phone that it was my home number. And so without thinking, I just answered the phone, and I'm like, because I'm thinking it's my son, I said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing? Long time no hear." And there was a pause, and I thought, oh, he's probably thrown. He probably doesn't really get what I'm trying to say when I say long time no hear, you know? And so I'm just getting ready to explain like what I meant, you know, and she said, "It's your wife." Oh, I said, "Oh, you two sound a lot alike. Do you know that? You guys sound just alike." And so I got to thinking about like when I was little, when I was younger and growing up in the house with my parents, my dad and I got confused all the time when someone would call the house. Now, part of it's because we sound similar, but it's also because the way we answered the phone was nearly identical. It was very distinctive. Somehow we squeezed a Y between the H and the E in hello, and we started with sort of a high pitch and dropped it down. So it'd be more like hello when we answered the phone. And I don't know why I did it, but I heard my dad do it. And it was just sort of natural to just sort of, that's how you answer the phone. Because I do remember the one time I was like 5, and it was like the first time I answered the phone. The phone rang, and I picked it up. I'm like, hello, Batcave. And I was not allowed to answer the phone for a while after that. There was Batman, the 1966 Batman series on the TV. I was really just enthralled with it. I loved it. I watched it every afternoon. And, you know, hello, Batcave. No, it's not a way to get yourself allowed to answer the phone. But anyhow, I copied my dad. It just sort of happens that way. So people would call and they'd hear hello, and they would, if it's one of my friends, they're like, "Oh, hey, Brian, let's," and or if it was one of my dad's friends, you know, they'd be like, "Oh, hey, Bill, how you doing?" And usually at that point, I'd be able to go, "That's actually, it's Brian." I'm like, "Oh, you and your dad sound a lot alike." Yeah, well, we get that a lot. The other thing, though, is, you know, we did have some people who knew us both well, and they'd be like, "Hey, Brian, is your dad home?" I'd be like, "Yeah, hold on a second." But then there was the other group of people who didn't know one of us, right? And just heard the voice and would jump in and like immediately launch into whatever they were trying to say. And that, you know, and he had to be like, all right, after 5 minutes, like, "Well, that's really good, but you got to talk to my dad about that because I'm not," right? So, you know, it was just very funny. Discerning the difference between voices, particularly in a family, can be a real challenge. And so I was thinking, you know, I think it's with great caution that we have to hear Jesus's words today: "My sheep hear my voice." Because I think it's real. I think we all are savvy enough to know that there are a lot of voices out there calling to us. And saint and sinner creatures that we are, there are times we have to distinguish which part of our existence is being called to and always be on guard, right? But our sinner side hears constant voices that attempt to lure us, separating us from God and our neighbor, turning our focus ever more inward onto ourselves. And those ones are the easy ones. Those voices are the easy voices for us to sort of sit and decry, to turn against, and to be very sort of on guard against those, right? These are the voices that use sex to allure us, and point to immediate gratification rather than the self-giving union between two people. They're the voices that tell us that our self-worth is based upon how much money we make, how big our house is, how green our grass is, how well we dress, what car we drive, what our hobbies are. They're the voices that try to get us to base our identity on all of these external things rather than on God's stamp that we are his children. These are problematic voices, you know, and they do drive a wedge between God and our neighbor, and there's a problem. But they are of a different family than the voice that should appeal to our saintly existence, right? I mean, these ones are ones we're pretty much at least going to go, yes, those are bad. We don't want to do those, right? Even if we sort of fall into them, if we're asked and pushed, we'd go, oh, no, those are bad. But I think that there are voices out there that try to appeal to our saintly existence. Voices that are very similar to Jesus' voice. Voices that even invoke his authority and identity. Voices that try to convince us that certain businesses or business practices are authentically Christian. I get that all the time. My mom owns a Curves fitness club. And I got into conversation with other people who own Curves then in the midst of that. And they're like, you know, Curves is a Christian company. I'm like, I don't know what that means. But it's kind of marketed. There are other... I'm a big fan of Curves. I think it does a great stuff. My mom has found a great deal of stuff, of fulfillment in that. But she doesn't, or I don't want to say that it's necessarily a Christian business. But there are also voices that try to get us to believe that God has a favorite political party because of the way one takes care of the poor, or the way that one reads the Bible is the best way. Voices that try to convince us that the root of the gospel is that God wants us to be rich. That's what we call the prosperity gospel. There are particularly, I mean, I've seen this before, but particularly this week with the terrorist bombings in Boston, you know, little signs that flash up that says something like, forgiveness is between them and their God. You know, and there's a picture of an Apache helicopter and it says, my job is to bring the introduction. As you know, things get wrapped up in sort of nice, pious, religious language. These voices might actually be more dangerous than the ones that are just trying to appeal to our out-and-out sinner side, because these ones can twist us and turn us around and take a true image of God or an image of the true God and twist it and deform it in such a way that we create an idol. We create a false image of the true God. And ultimately, it leads us away from God. Sin, that broken relationship, power in the universe is very devious and is very crafty. It seeks to find all sorts of ways to appeal to us, whether it's through our sinner side or through our saintly side, and drive a wedge between us and God and us and our neighbor. But when we hear Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice, he immediately follows that with, I know them and they follow me. While we hear his voice, Jesus is quick to point out that our following of him is not dependent on our discerning his voice on our own. Jesus speaks and we hear and follow, but most importantly, the root here is that he knows the sheep and then we follow. Now, this is not to say that it's impossible for us to know Jesus' voice. We are indeed gifted with the ability to hear those gracious words of Jesus. But they have to be set among the whole of his teaching about God's reign and God's grace. And we must ask and not assume that everything that sounds good and pious is good and pious. Jumping in and accepting those voices that sound like Jesus without discernment is perilous. But Jesus promises that he will be there in our midst, helping us discern his words from others. He continues to be in our midst, telling us that we are his, that we belong to him, that he knows us, that he knows the ways that we follow him and in the ways that we stray from him. And he continues to promise a secure place for us. He continues to come and speak to us in the midst of the church, at the font, in baptism, in the bread and in the wine at communion, in our mutual conversation as his people. The practice of his of discernment, of Jesus' voice among all the others, is not really something that's an intellectual discernment. That's part of it. But it also comes from engaging Jesus where Jesus promises to be, in the water and the word and the bread and in the wine. And in those places where we find the least and the lost, those who live marginally, he promises that he is there in the midst of suffering. He promises that he's there in the midst of those on the outs. Jesus has or creates practices within the church. We have the works of mercy that as we engage in them, as we pray, as we feed, as we clothe, as we enter into those, we find a continued presence of Jesus that taken together with this faithful community, with the places where he gives of himself to us, we are formed more and more into people who are attuned with his voice. His knowing us and our following are key to hearing his voice. And we are given then an image in that Revelation text about what happens as we are continued to be formed and formed, and we go through this great ordeal of life. We become those with a voice. And there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hand. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And then they sing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." As Jesus comes and continues to call to us with his voice, coaxing us into the works that he has sent for us to do, we become part of that people that will ultimately, with one voice, call out to him, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who's seated on the throne." Amen. Thanks be to God.